Okay, today's daf is Bamitzia daf Tezvav, and we are on Yud Dalet Amebez as we continue here in the second half of Shnayim Ochzin, which talks about different cases of shtaros and found shtaros and achrayas. That is all discussed here, daf Tezvav, Tezayin, as we head towards the last week of the first perek of Maseches Bava Metzia. So we'll pick up with Tashma about 10 lines up for the bottom on Yud Dalet Amid Bey. So if you remember, we're discussing the issue of Peros, the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. That's what we started off with. Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel. And we had earlier Rav Shita. What is the halacha where somebody sells a sada to their friend, it comes out that it was stolen, so the owner takes it, and now the buyer goes back to the Goslin to get his money back. The Goslin, who was the seller, does he pay? He has to give back actually what he received, but does he have to give back the Shevach also? So you would say, of course he has to give back the Shevach. If the buyer put in money and appreciated the field, of course he has to give back the Shevach. But as the Gemara said, it could be, according to Shmuel, he does not give back the Shevach because Mechzi Karibis. It looks like ribis because ultimately this sale was not a sale. So the seller had the buyer's money, not because it was a sale, he just had the money. So if he gives back more money, so it could be that looks like ribis, something that we'll get back to a lot later. And we alluded to one of the major topics of ribis, and that is maybe the topic of ribis, and that is the relationship between ribis and other payments, for example, gezel. The Gemara at the beginning of Ezeo Neshech, as we'll see, we didn't quote this last time, but the Gemara says on Samach Aleph Amid Aleph, Lomali Dekatzav Rachmana. Why does the Torah even have to say separate Isurim? Lav Beribis, Lav Begeza, Lav Bona. So even that line is very telling. That the fact that the Gemara has to ask that, why do you need all three for, means there's a connection between them. The question is then, Lamaskana, once the Gemara says, you need each of them because each one is unique, so is that really breaking the connection between them? Or is it saying they are connected with these separate little uniquenesses between them? That is a major discussion. That was a beautiful machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban we saw about whether you count the separate mitzvahs aseh of returning ribis or not. The Ramban has it as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam does not, so does that mean the Rambam thinks it's pure, it's regular gezel? Does it mean that he thinks it's something else? And what did the Ramban say? Is it a shibud? Is it just a mitzvah? So those were all issues that were brought up. But it all has to do with getting paid, the gozlin paying back, which is part of our sugya here, the gozlin paying back. This is a double. The gozlin paying back, and if he pays back more than he took, is that going to look like ribis on top of his payment for gzela? Okay, so let's continue now. Again, this shita of Shmuel that he does not pay back Shevach, and now we will continue to see if that is true. So Tashma, we'll try again. Lachilas, Peros, Ketzad. And we also mentioned the previous Mishnah was mentioned in Gittin Daf Mem Ches. We mentioned that Mishnah of Peros, so now we bring a connected Brisa. So Tashma, again, about 10-12 lines up for the bottom. L'achilas peros ketzad. What is the case of achilas peros? Meaning the Mishnah said in Gittin Daf Mem Ches, which we just quoted, that achilas peros were only motzi from nechasim b'nei chorin. We do not give it from nechasim mishubadim. So we just explained before what achilas peros is. It doesn't relate to us. It has to do with Baal Chov. So the Brisa says no. There's a Brisa that says mefurish that it's about gezela. L'achilas peros ketzad harei shegozal sada mechavero. Somebody steals a field from his friend, and now it is leaving his rishus. So what exactly is the case? We'll see. When he collects the keren from even from nechasim mishubadim, from properties that were sold. Uperos gove minechasim b'nei chorin. And peros are collected from nechasim b'nei chorin. So the Gemara says, Eichidami, what exactly is the case here? The Brisa is obviously not 100% clear what the case is, because all the Brisa says is that somebody steals a field from their friend and now it's leaving their reshus. So what, there's only two people now. There's the person who you sold it to and the person who sold it, right? That can't be, because it's talking about when he collects. Obviously the field's going back to the original owner. There's the nigzal and the gozlan, but Yotzi Midakas Yado sounds like that there's a third party involved. So Ilei Mekidik Tani, is it like what is mentioned explicitly Only two people involved. Gazlan miman gavi. That doesn't work. Who would the gazlan collect from? Right? It says kishuhu gove. When he collects, he could collect. What do you mean collect? The gazlan just gives back the field and it's done. Right? So gazlan miman gavi. So what's the case? Right? Rashi, fourth to last line. Miman yesh lo ligvos v'chiman nasan ba. Right, from who is he going to collect from? It's just the field's going to go back. So elolav, rather, what must be the case of the brisa? There must be three people involved. Kigon shegazel sadam echaveiro. Somebody steals a field. Umachra laacher veishbicha. And it's talking about our case where somebody stole, Gazlan stole a field, and he sold it to someone else, and now the nigzal comes and takes the field from the Kone, from the buyer, and now the buyer is going back to the gazlan to get his due money. Isn't that the case? And what does the brisa say? The brisa says that there is a collection of peros, and there's a connection after hishbicha, and the shavach became peros gemurim, and we're talking about his collection of the peros. So doesn't that show against Shmuel, as we saw, that there is no shavach collected? Says the Gemara, no, there are other ways to interpret this brisa, that it's not talking about our case. Three pshatim, what the case of the brisa is. Pshat number one, Amar Rava, last skinny line. Amar Rava, ke'acha mayaskinon, kigon, shegazal sadam echaveiro, malaya peris. There's no third party here. There was just a ganav, a gazlan, and an owner. So what happened? The gazlan stole a field, but it was full of fruit. It was right before the harvest season, so literally fruit. It wasn't that he was mashbiach, there was a lokeach who was mashbiach the field, and now we're talking about his going back to collect the shavach and the peiros, which might be against Shmuel. No, we're talking about two people. The gazlan stole the field, but not only did he steal a field, he stole the field that was full of fruit. This is our girsa. The achal as peiros, he ate the fruit, and he destroyed the field. The chafar ba boro shichinu ma'aros. And he dug ditches and caves, so he can't just give back the field. So what does the brisa say? Well, because the field is no longer the field. There's no longer an ability to say Haresh al Chalfanecha. Remember, we discussed at the end of Baba Kama, the concept of Haresh al Chalfanecha. We even discussed there from the briskers that there might be a difference between the concept of Shinui Kone and the inability to say Haresh al Chalfanecha. There might be a state where you can't say Haresh al Chalfanecha, even if you don't say that it's mamish a shinui, shini kona. We discussed there, affecting the field. So here, what happened? The gazlan stole a field, he ate the fruit, then he destroyed the dirt. Bon nigzal ligvos karen. So when the owner now comes to collect the karen, he can't just take the field. He has to take more, because the field is worth more than it, less now. Right? It was destroyed. So govim in the chazam mishubadim. For the karen, he could even go to the mishubadim of the gazlan. Ba nigza ligvos peros, but if he comes to collect peros, go over minichasa b'nechorin. Good, so there's no issue of shevach here, because it's only one person, it's only the gazlan here that destroyed the field, and the shevach is actually from fruit that the nigzal himself had produced. Pshat number one. Pshat number two that you can give to the brisa. Again, three pshatim that we give to the brisa so that it's not a kasha on Shmuel. Second pshat. Rabba Barafuna Omar, last line, Kigon Shenatluha Masikin. It's a case where Masikin have taken this land. What's the case? Again, the gazlan didn't sell it to anybody. The gazlan stole it, and then non-Jewish Anosin people were going through the area, and they took it from the gazlan. Rashi on top. Anosin Akum Natluha Min HaGazlan Umachmato. Because this gazlan hangs out with shady people, so these ruffians came over and took this field that he had stolen from him, but they only took it from him because he's him. It wasn't like it was a governmental decree to take all the areas. And what we learn at the end of Baba Kama, if this is the case, if I steal something and then it's taken from me because I'm me, not because there's Makas Medina, so the Mishnah says, Rashi quotes it, Kufte Zayin in Baba Kama, Hagozel Sada Vechaver Venatlua Masikin, if a Machmas Hagazlan, Chayv Lahamin, Lo Sada Acher. So the gazlan is responsible because it's his fault that now this is gone. So again, back to the Gemara. Kigoshen atuwa masikin, bon nigzal. So now the nigzal is coming to the gazlan because the gazlan is responsible. Same thing, bon nigzal ligvas karen, govim minichazim mishubadim. If he's coming to collect the karen, then he's govim from nechazim mishubadim. Bon nigzal ligvos peros, govim minichazim b'necharin. And if he's coming to collect the peros, so then he collects the nechazim b'necharin. So similar answers, but they are different, but they're both about that the gazlan did not sell it to anybody. right? The goslin had it, and he destroyed it, and he took actual fruit, or that people took it from him against his will. Those are the first two pshatim. So says the Gemara, why did each Amora give this pshat to the Braisa? They didn't say the other one's pshat. So Rava lo amar ka Rava Bar Afuna. Rava did not want to say like Rava Bar Afuna pshat, meaning pshat number one. He didn't want to say pshat number two. Why? Harehu yotza mitachas yado bedina mashma. The language of the Braisa, that it goes out from his hand, sounds like it's going out legally from his hand. So I'd rather say that means that the nigzel is coming to take it from the goslin. It doesn't mean that the anas stole it from the goslin himself. That's why I'd rather say that it's talking about a legal proceeding. Rabba Barafuna, lo amar karaba. And why does Rabba Barafuna not say like Rabba? He says the Masikin case. He doesn't say the case of Peros, that he bought actual fruit and then he destroyed it. Hare hi yotza mitachas yado be'ina. It's leaving from under his rishus, Be'ina mashma. Sounds like it's ba'en, it's exactly as was. Meaning, it wasn't destroyed. So one wants to focus on ba'en, one wants to focus on bedina. It's legal or it's still intact. So that's why each one focuses on a different part of the Braisa. But that is all two pshatim of the Braisa. But as we said, there's a third. Ravashi amar litzda diktani. Ravashi says, really, it's discussing two halves. The Braisa should be split up. Kigon, shegodol sadamei chaver malei haperos, like Rava had said, va'achal es haperos, umachar es hasadeh. He did sell the field, but it's not a kasha about the shevach, how could the lokeach take the shevach? No, the shevach being discussed is from the nigzal taking it from the goslin, because actual fruits were eaten. Ba'lokeach ligavos karen, when the lokeach comes to collect karen, the buyer comes to collect karen from the goslin, govim in the chazim mishubadim, that he can even collect from the chazim mishubadim. Ba'nigzal ligavos peros, govim in the chazim mishubadim. So again, it's not a kasha on Shmuel, and Rashi points out, why does Ravashi say what he says? Because this is a case where you solve both problems of the previous opinions. It's din, it's bedina, and it's ba'en. The field wasn't destroyed, and it's legally going out of the rishus of the one whose hand it is in. Okay, so either way, those are the three pshatim of the Braisa. Continues the Gemara, last section, before we get to a different piece. Bain L'Rava, Bain L'Rava, V'Arafuna, Milva Alpehu, U'Milva Alpeinu, Govim, Minichasa, Mishubadim. One second, I ask the Gemara. According to either one of the first two pshatim, isn't when a goslin owes money, he has to give back money, what kind of status does that have? He owes. Does that have the status of a milva alpeh or a milva bishtar? What a milva bishtar, that has to be recorded with witnesses. There's a call that goes out. So it's nothing's recorded here. It wasn't written down. So doesn't this chiyuv have the status of a milva alpeh? And a milva alpeh is not going from mishubadim anyway. So how does the whole discussion get off the ground? If he just owes the money, so then it should be like a milva alpeh and nothing's collectible from mishubadim. The Gemara answers, no. Bezdin told him to pay before he sold. So once Bezdin to pay, we know Maisa Bezdin has the status of a Milva Bishtar, has the status of that type of obligation. And therefore, it can be collected from Mishubadim. The Achronim point out here that this Gemara seems to be assuming like one opinion elsewhere. We know there's a Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, which comes up in a few places, of milve haksuve batorah. There are different types of obligations. There are obligations that I would know logically, by myself, even if the Torah wouldn't have said anything. That's called a milve she'ein haksuve batorah. I would have known this. What is that? So generally, it's a milve. I'm a mamash a milve. I borrow money from you. So that's a milve she'ein haksuve batorah. Because obviously, only because, not only, you don't need the Torah to tell me that I owe you. But then there's milva haksuva batorah. For example, pidyon haben. Right, if the Torah didn't say the mitzvah of pidyon haben, I would never have known that when I have a firstborn son, I have to give 5 shlam to the Kohen. That's a milva haksuva batorah. So there is a machlokes in Kiddushin Yud Gimel. Milva haksuva batorah. The fact that the Torah says it, ironically, on the one hand, you might say it's weaker, because I wouldn't have thought about it without the Torah. But once the Torah says it, that might make it the opposite, stronger, because the Torah itself says it. So the Gemara says it could be that a milva ksuva batorah, kiksuva bishtar damya, is automatically as if it's written kiksuva bishtar. So if you say that milva ksuva batorah is kiksuva bishtar damya, so then the Achronim say, our Gemara's question doesn't fit, because We're talking here about Gezel. Gezel is a Milvah Ksuvah B'Torah. Right? It's not only that you might have said you have to pay, but there are details about how you have to pay that's written in the Torah. So therefore, says the Achronim, that this Gemara seems to be assuming Milvah Ksuvah B'Torah is Lav Ksuvah B'Shtar Dami, and that's why the question is asked, and therefore we have to come up to the answer of Amidas Adin. If you remember, though, there's an interesting categories of what is in each one. Tosfos, Kedushin Yud Gimel Mabez, gives examples. What are examples of Milvah Ksuvah B'Torah? Pirish, Kigon, Karbanos. Okay, that's good. I wouldn't have known I'm Chayav a Karban without the Torah. Pidyon HaBen, Arachin, so far so good. V'Nezikin. Whoa. Nezikin is on the list. You look in the Tosfos Arash here, same Tosfos without that word. Without the word Nezikin. We've mentioned Nezek doesn't have an Isser Hezek. Is that a Milvah Ksuvah B'Torah? I wouldn't have known Nezek without Shelo Hayu Yodim in Yoni Nesinos Halalu im Loshin Eschai V'Atorah Beferish. So, Pashas, you might say, means that the details of Nezek I wouldn't have known. The concept of Nezek, but there are a lot of Chidushim in the world of Nezek. Right? Id, what you pay, Idis, and Min Ha'aliyah, all different details. So maybe that's what you wouldn't have known. Aval, but Milveh itself is the classic Milveh. She'ena ksuva b'Torah. So that's just a hara on the line here. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, this chiyuv is only a milvah pass. So how could you collect from Mishubadim? Answer, you had Amadas Hadin. Bezin already told him to pay, and that's why it's payable from Mishubadim. Says the Gemara, Yahachi Peiras Nami. If Bezin already told him to pay, then everything should be considered a milvah b'shtar, and even Peiros should be subject. So, no, Kish Amad Bedin ala Karen, below Amad Bedin ala Paris. There was Amadas Adina on the Karen, on the principal, but not on the Paris. Says the Gemara, my Pascha, why do we just generalize like that and assume that's the case? Answer, Stama Demilsa, Kitava Inish, Karnatava Beresha. When people generally come to a Din Torah, they first want to get their principal back. Karnatava Beresha. And therefore, in this case, that's what happened. He came to first get his Karen, and then he'll get the Shevach, the extra payers afterwards, and that's the case where there was Hamadas Adin on one and not on the other. Asks the Gemara, asks the Rashba. So we're saying here it's considered a Milveh Bishtar. Milveh Bishtar. Asks the Rashba, V'ika Lameidach, we're going to see Beit Hashem on tomorrow's daf. The Gemara is going to say that if Bezdin says, say Tainlo, pay him, and the person claims parati, it could be that he's Naaman. Asks the Rashba, if our Gemara here on Daf Tesvav says that once Bezdin says, Amad Badin, that's considered a Milveh Bishtar, and tomorrow, after Amadas Adin, he could still say parati, unless proof is given that it wasn't paid yet, so how do you put those two together? Generally, we know the principle is, if I have a shtar, then you're not believed to say I paid up. Shtarcha biyadich my boy. Right? If I paid up already, I would have ripped up the shtar. So ask the Rashba, via Mada Bedin Kamilva Bishtar Damya, Hechinem Aloma Parati. How is he believed to say Parati? That's the Kasha of the Rashba. And the Rashba quotes three answers why the Gemara says that you'd be believed to say Parati. First he quotes the Rif, Tahacha Kishamar Bedin Visirev, Vahasam below Sirev. Maybe it makes a difference if right after that Mada Sadin, did you start arguing? After that Mada Sadin, no, I'm not going to pay, I'm not going to pay. So maybe if it's right away, I'm not going to pay, I didn't pay, so maybe then we'll believe you that you didn't pay yet. If you, I'm sorry, or the opposite, right, Vesirev, Hassam, over there, below Sirev, right, where you didn't complain, and if you didn't complain about it, then we assume that you actually paid, because you accepted that you were going to, but if you said originally that I'm not going to, and you say not, so then that would be a problem. Number one. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel and Rabbeinu Ephraim. Bishamad Bedin Vakasvil Lo Shtar. There was a Amadas Adin, and there was a shtar, but the chiddush is that this is not a regular shtar. Even if you want to say it's considered Kamilva Bishtar Damya, that might be just in terms of collecting from Mishubadim. But it might not be in terms of all nafkaminas of shtar. And then he quotes the magical lashon that we always mention by shtar. Vikamash Malan Dishtar at Bezdin. Remember, we always mention, what's the key ingredient of a shtar? Because after all, the Gemara says in Yevamos Lamed Aleph that, right, the Rishonim discussed there, mipik savam. You have to give testimony with your mouth. Mipi edim, velo mipik savam. It can't be written. You can't give your testimony by written down. So how do you ever have a shtar? How does shtar break the problem on mipiyim v'lo mipiksavim? Many different answers in the Gemara, the Tosfos there, and the Baal Amor there, in Yevamis, Aflam and Aleph. But the answer that we like to mention, and that is the Tosfos Ksubas Daf Chaf, and the Baal Amor there, is shtar is written midasa mischayev. A shtar has the ingredient of written. It's the concretization of the commitment of the person who is committing in the shtar. If I borrow money and I say, you could write a shtar about that, that shtar is a concretization of my commitment, and that's very different than stam edus. Two people saying that Reuven, or somebody writes down something to be accepted in court. That's very different. So Tosfos, the Rashbi here points out here that even though this has the status of a shtar, that's in terms of collecting from Mishubadim. But it's not written Midasa Mischayev. So maybe that's why it doesn't have the full power of a shtar, and that's why he could be believed, he can be believed to say Pa Rati. Right? That's what he says later on also, even more explicit. Avavishamarnu Damada Bedin Kishtar Damya Hani Mili Ligvos Mimshabdi. Bishum Damada Bedin Kala Islav Yalavishlokasvo Vunasulo. Aval Namaloma Parati calls Banchalokasvo. Tataima because Sharkhabiadak my boy. But here, it has the status, but it's not actually written yet, Vihulu. The Rashba has those answers. Okay, so let's continue now. So the Gemara said the Hamad Bedin has the status of a shtar. So now we get back to what we said earlier. Oh, we got off track a little bit, but now we get back to it. The Savar Shmuel Lokeach Migazlan Lesle Shivcha. So the Lokeach from a Gazlan. We mentioned Peros before. I might have misspoke before, where the focus was really on a Baal Chov collecting Peros. That's what we was discussing also a little bit there. We were talking about Peros and Shevach, but now we're getting back to the original Machlokes Shmuel and Rav. The Savar Shmuel, Lokeach Migazlan Lesle Shivcha. Shmuel says, a Lokeach from a Gazlan. Remember, a Gazlan was the seller. And now the original owner comes and takes the field that was stolen. And now the buyer goes back to the Gazlan, takes his money. Shmuel said he does not collect Shevach. So is that really true? Shmuel told the sofer, Rav Chinen Bar Shelas, Imlech v'ksov shufra shivcha opere. Imlech, go and ask the people involved. Imlech v'ksov, and once you get there, okay, write down when the person sells the field that he commits, in case it's stolen, to pay back shufra from the best shivcha and the shevach opere. Ubemai, what are we talking about here? What's the case? Iba Baal Chov. Are we talking just about a Baal Chov? So, meaning if a Baal Chov is going to go, and if somebody's lending money, and the Baal Chov is going to go and collect from properties that he sells in the interim. Iba Baal Chov, mi yisle peyre. Does a Baal Chov get peyros? V'hamar Shmuel, Baal Chov go v'sa shevach, shevach in aval peyros lo. Right? Baal Chov does not collect peyros from the field that he collects from his from the creditors, he is the creditor from the buyers. Elalav lokeach migazlan. So isn't this statement talking about lokeach from a gazlan? You see, shevach is mentioned. Can't be talking about a baal chov. Says the Gemara. Okay, you're right. Even though Shmuel says that when a lokeach from a gazlan collects, he cannot collect shevach because it looks like ribis. That's what we said yesterday. Because he's getting paid back more. There are two exceptions. There are two cases that don't look like ribis, and therefore the lokeach can collect from the gazlan even the shevach. Answer number one, exception number one. Amar Rav Yosef Hachamai Askinon Kigon Sheyeshlo Karka. He has karka. What does that mean? Machlokas Rashi Ritva. Let's go through Rashi's way of reading the next three lines of the Gemara. Rashi says he has karka and he pays back in karka. So if he pays back in karka, that doesn't look like ribis. He got money from the buyer, and now he's giving back some money, he's giving back some karka. So if you're not giving back money, so then that doesn't look like ribis, and that's why it's allowed. Says the Gemara, Amar le Abaya, v'chi muter lulavo sa'a b'sa'a b'makam sheish lo karka. 1 minute, if you look in a Mishnah later on, in Izeo Neshet, Taf Ayin Hei, a big discussion, the Mishnah talks there about commodities. If I borrow a commodity from you, I borrow a bottle of milk from you today, and then I'm going to pay you back a bottle of milk in 2 weeks from now, that could be a problem of ribis, because maybe the price of milk went up in the interim. So the Gemara says that's called sa'ah b'sa'ah. A sa'ah is a volume of grain, of produce. So you can't give sa'ah b'sa'ah, because that's a little bit, that's not mamish maybe ribis daraisa, but it's at least Mexican ribbons. It could be like ribbons because the price might went up. We're going to get to Ben Shem then. So how can neighbors just like borrow things from each other, you know? So we'll talk about implicit mechila in certain situations, that it's not even considered borrowing. But says the Mishnah there that maker din, you can't do this. So here, what do you mean paying back karka? How does that solve the problem? You still can't give back karka because maybe the price went up. Says the isn't that a problem? So answer, amarle hasam halva'a hachazvini. If it's really borrowing, so then you get into the problems of it looks like ribbis, it smacks of ribbis. But remember, here it was a sale that went bad. The Goslin sold the property, and it comes out that he wasn't allowed to sell the property. So it comes out retroactively that this money wasn't there as sale money, but he was just holding it, so it turned into like a milvet type of loan. So that's already one step removed, says the Gemara, from a regular case of milva. So once we're going to extend it to say, does it look like ribbis? We won't go that far in this case by it comes to karka. You don't have to extend it that much. The Ritva, again, here, before he gets to his machlokas with Rashi on this last line, has a beautiful distinction. The Ritva says there is the difference between avak ribbis and mechzik ribbis. There's cases of milva, case of a loan. What's a loan? What's ribbis daraisa? I lend you 10 and you give me back 20. Okay, that's ribbis daraisa. But there are cases that are the dust of ribbis, avak ribbis. So over there by a loan, if I lend you a milk and you give me back a milk, so that's avak ribbis. That's like that's miniature ribbis, maybe on a drop on a level. But then there are cases that are not ribbis at all. It just looks like ribbis. Mechzik ribbis. Says the Ritva, that's the difference over here. Over there, it's avak ribbis. It's miniature ribbis. Our case, it's not ribbis at all. It just looks like ribbis. It was a case of a sale that went bad. So that's not ribbis at all. That just looks like ribbis, and that's why it's going to be one step removed. I'll read it. Hasam ava achazvini. Here's the hasam avak ribbis hu legamre. Avalacha mecher gomur hu. It's a sale that went bad. Veleka avak ribbis klal. That is the Ritva's important lashon. But then, fine. That's how the Rashi read the Gemara with the Ritva's last point. The Ritva, though, added on something crucial in the first line. The Ritva also said in the first line, what was the first line? Oh, if you have karka, it's not a problem. Rashi says, because when you pay back karka, the Ritva, that's not what the Gemara says, and the Ritva's medayik about it. What does the Gemara say? He has karka. Not that he dafka pays back karka. So the Ritva says, as long as the Goslin has karka, he's able to give back even the money of the Shevach. Why does it make a difference if he has karka? Rashi says, you have to give back the karka. Rashi says, beferish, and you pay back with karka. The Ritva says, no. Kivan sheyeshlo karka la Goslin, sheshibed la achrayis ha-Shevach, his karka is now meshubid to the lokeach, Havile Kiilu Machrolo Baoso Shevach Mishar Rishona Visulo Mexi Karibis Via Filu Paro Agazlan Bimaos Harayu Kiilu Choser Velocho Minalokeach. What's the Ritva talking about? This is the Ritva Lishitaso. The Ritva in Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel says he has, out of all the Rishonim, he has the strongest formulation of Shibudim. When I have property, I owe you money, so my property is Meshubit to you. So the Ritva's Lashon there is, that's a Miksas Kinyan. It's as if you own part of my property already. Just like the Gemara says by Mashkon. Mashkon is Nikneh somewhat, Baal Chov Kona Mashkon, even though it's just a Shibud, but that's where it's actually in the Rishus of the other person, of the one who has the Shibud. But regular Shibud, no, it's still in my Rishus. The Ritva says that is a Kinyan Lachatsa'in. So Lishitaso, the Ritva here says, if the Goslin has money, so that it has karka, that karka is mishubid to the lokeach. So when the lokeach takes money back from the Goslin, that's okay. It's as if he's buying back, it's like he's paying off his shibudim. He's giving the lokeach money instead of the karka. So that's not, once he has karka, it's fine. It gets into the world of shibudim, doesn't look like ribbis. And that's the Ritva. Again, you don't have to actually give back the karka. Machlokas Rashi Ritva. In that detail. But either way, that's exception number one. The Gemara says, why? Shmuel would agree that the Lokeach could take from the Goslin even for the Shevach. Number one, Karka is an exception. What's the other exception? Right here, Ika de Amri Amr of Yosef Achamai Eskinan Kochekanu Miyado. They made a Kinyan Chalipin originally when the Gazlan, in quotes, sold the property. Velokeach said, you know, if this becomes stolen property, are you going to pay me back? He says, yes. Even for the Shevach? Yes. And they do a Kinyan Chalipin on it. So if they made a Kinyan Chalipin about it originally, so no problem. That is automatic. Says the Gemara Amalei Abaya, v'chimutu lalavu sa'a b'sa'a v'malkam shekano miyado? Same kind of question. Could you make a Kinyan Chalipin by sa'a b'sa'a? Isn't that usur? The Mishnah says later on, Amar Lei Hasam Halva v'achazvini. Same thing. This is one step removed from a regular case of ribis, and therefore it would be okay. Tosfos here, the little Tosfos, kigon shekano miyado, v'yim tomar. If a Kinyan Chalipin was made, and we're explaining this whole statement of Shmuel to Rav Chinina, so why does Rav Shmuel say to Rav Chinina, go ask him if you should write a shtar? Don't we have the principle from Maseches Baba Basra, Stam Kinyan Lixiva Omeid? Kinyan Chalipin automatically translates into a shtar, right, that you could write. Amai Kamar Imlech. Right, hello, stam, kinyan l'ksiva omi. Kinyan l'ksiva always translates automatically into a shtar. V'yishlam Artosa says, no, it's still different. Tani mili, kigon shehikna lo davar shuhu ba'en. No, it's different if you're being mocked at something that's there. Here, you're talking about the peiros, you're talking about the shevach, that's not around yet. That gets a little more tricky. You can't write a shtar on shevach that's not there yet. Or the language of the Tosas Harash, right here, when he quotes the Tosfos, Tosfos Vatiris, my time, I'm sorry, wrong one, says the Tosfos Arash, Hani mili kishamakne davar hayadua, oz makne be'ein yafe, avo shevach uperos ha asidin lavo, de'ein yadua im yavou im lo yavou, v'kama yiyu, lo makne be'ein yafe v'tzarech limalech. Okay, that is the alumnus. So, we're not going to do it right now, but the beginning of the next year, which we'll put up from 7 years ago, I discussed the Kinyan Chalipin, the lamdas of Chalipin, which we've discussed often in terms of why does it automatically translate into shtar. There's no other Kinyan like that. Shtar, stam Kinyan l'ksiva omeid. When I do a meshicha, it doesn't automatically mean I can write a shtar on it. When I do Agbah, dafka by Chalipin. Chalipin segues right into writing a shtar. Why is that? So, B'nai Hashem, we'll talk about that. Okay, but now we continue after those two exceptions to the rule. Gufa, here we go. Two dots. Omar Shmuel Balchov Goves HaShevach. A Balchov can collect the Shevach, even though the Lokech from the Gazlan does not collect the Shevach. The Balchov, what is the case again? Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and Reuven does not have enough money to pay back Shimon. So Shimon goes to Reuven's buyers who had bought his property in the interim. And not only can he collect from the Keren, but he can collect from the, he gets the Shevach. Gets the Shevach too that he is owed. Amar Rava Teda. I'll prove it to you that this is true. Shekach Chosev O Mocher L'Lokeach. Because this is what the Mocher writes to the Lokeach anyway, that he might have to give up the Shevach. Right? Ana Eikum. The Ashafe, I will establish and I will improve. The Edake, I will purify. Right? Dachi is pure. Purify from any type of complaint. The Emrik, and I will also cleanse. Zvini Elaine, this sale. I mean, I'll cover you. Inun va'amleon v'shivcheon. There's the Lashon, right? The principal and the expenses and the shevach that you put into it. Ve'ekim kadamach, and I will stand up in front of you and claim for you. V'tzavi zvina d'anan, and the Edom sign on this. Akabal Elohi. So it's beferish. Shmuel says, you see, that the balchov is going to the shevach, because that's beferish what was accepted. Armalei revchia bar avin l'rava elameata. So you're telling me it's because of this condition? So matana, what if somebody gives a shtar matana? Not a mecher, but he gives a gift. Delok sivle, where the giver does not write this whole all these conditions. Hacha, hachi, hachanami, deltar of shivcha. You're going to tell me that he can't? The acceptor of the balchov cannot take it from a makabo matana, right? Because this was not written. Armalein, true. That's true. Yes, a makabo matana. He wouldn't have to give it up. V'chiyafe koach matana mi mecher. What is the koach matana stronger? Armalein, yafe v'yafe. In this case, it is. The Ritf is bothered here a little bit. It's not that Matana inherently is any greater. It's just that you make this condition by a Mecher, not a Matana. So it's a little unusual that this is the Gemara ends up. It is stronger. But it's stronger because this is what's automatically written when it comes to Matana, when it comes to Mecher, and not to matana. There is a machlokas in the Rishonim here. What type of shevach does a Baal Chov collect? So the Rosh says beferish here in Simen Lamed Ches, all type of shevach, whether it's shevach de memela or shevach that he, the person on the field now, was mashbiach. Amar Shmuel Baal Chov go beha shevach, says the Rosh. Bein shivcha da'asi machmas hotza'a, bein shivcha da'asi memela. Mishum zelotin al delas bifnei lavin. Almua rabbanon l'shibude de Baal Chov shelo yafsid klal mimasha machar halo vekarka hamishubidlo. Because Lotino Deles, if the lender knows that there are limitations to his power, he's not going to lend the money. And that's why the Rush says he's able to collect any Shevach on the property, even Shevach that the Lokeach put into it himself. Doesn't matter. We feel bad for the Lokeach, but for the good of society, the Baal Chov can collect anything. Kimo, and we make a very strong collection ability. Kimo shaya goveu ilaisa sada biyad alove. Just like what he would collect if the Lova still had the property, he would collect the Shevach. So too, if it's sold, he would collect the Shevach. Vayagam hu amal ba'u mashbicha. Right? What do you mean? The Lova also worked hard. Doesn't matter. The Shevach is collectible, so too if he sells it. It doesn't go back. That's the Rush, and that's the Rif. Other Rishonim.
Not strong enough for, in case of Matana.
It's not. Matana is different. Matana is different because there you didn't make this tonight. You don't need the Baal Chov is not worried about that he's going to give gifts away. He's going to give all the land away. He's only worried that he's going to sell property, because that's what he's going to have. So I think Sum Mecher is more common than Matana. The Chidushi Haran here has a chilek. Chidushi Haran says, the Shevach, that Lokech is actually Mashbiach, so that you have to write Beferish. That you have to write Beferish only if you wrote Da'akni. Why? Because that is considered a Dover Shaloba La'olam. Shevach Da'asi Memela is considered a davar shebala olam, and therefore you don't have to be so specific. Says the Ran, the Chidushi Ran right here in the back is the Nemuki Yosef. So in the Ran we have in the Chidushi Ran, bein shivach de memela, bein shivcha de machmas hotza. Like the Rush, that it applies to both, but there's a chilak. Mihu b'shivcha de machmas hotza kivan de davar shebala lo bala olamu lo gavi le balchov elakisha kasav le love de akna ava lo kasav le de akna lo gavi mine klal. But if he didn't write it, he can't. That's only by Shevach Shish Bichu. But the Asi Memela, it's fascinating. They're both not physically here. But any Shevach that comes Memela, it's okay to be considered that distinction. Okay, weiter. Amrle, where are we? Amr of Nachman, Hamas Nisa, Messiah, the Marshmuel, Vahuna Chavrin, Mukim Lab, Emili Achrini. The following Brisa could really be a support for Shmuel, that a Baal Chov collects the Shevach. But Rav Huna, says it's talking about something else. That according to Rav Huna, it wouldn't be a Raya. Titania, what's the Brisa? Hamocher, Sadla Chavero. Fahari Yotze Mitachas Yado, a person sells a field, and now it's going out from under his hands. So what's the case? We'll see in a second. Kishihu goveh, so what do we assume the case is? When he is goveh, we assume it's talking about a third party here. He sold it, so when the lokeach collects from the mocher, goveh sakerim minachasim mishubatim, v'shevach goveh minachasim lechorin. So you see, like Shmuel, that about chov is goveh the shevach. V'huna chavrin mukim labemili achrini. But Rav Huna says, no, we're not talking about just about chov, lokeach migaslan. We're talking about there was a gzela here. So if there was a gzela here, then for sure, the Nigzal could collect the Shevach. That's not a discussion. That is for sure. Period. If you look in the Chashuk Yechemet here, discusses what happens if you say Nigzal for sure collects the Shevach. What about this type of Shevach? Reuven sells property to Shimon, which is really stolen property. Shimon plants stuff on the property and he wins awards for what he planted there. Like the city gives him a pros because, it's beautiful and he made something and he won something. And then now it comes out it was stolen property. Does that Shevach also go back to the Nigzal? That has nothing to do with the field, right? And the Iriyah and Nikolo of Urzepras. So Lomaskana, he says, there's a good chance that won't go back to the Nigzal. Even though Rashi says here that all Shevach goes back, but this is a different type of Shevach. It really has to do more with the person, the Gavra, than the field, and therefore he wouldn't collect that. Okay, Tanya Idach Viter continues the Gemara, the Brisa, Hamochas Adalachaveira, Vishbicha, right, all related types of cases. Somebody sells a field to their friend Vishbicha, and the field, the buyer was Mashbiachid, Upa Balchov Tarf, and the Balchov now is coming to collect. Kshu Gove, when the Lokeach goes back to collect, when the buyer goes back to collect from the seller who was the debtor, Ima Shevach Yosar Al Yitziyah, if the Shevach is worth more than, if the appreciation is more than the expenses he put into it, no tell us a Shevach mi Bala Karka, he takes the Shevach from the owner of the karka, from the balchov, vayitziyah mi balchov, and the extra expenses he takes from the, the difference he takes from the balchov, and the basic expenses he takes from the balakarka, and the expenses he takes from the balchov. Vima yitziyah yiseir ala shevach, but if the expenses are more, ein lo ela hotza shir shevach mi balchov, then only from the balchov, you can't take anything from the owner of the karka that is coming. Says the Gemara of Hashmuel, but my Mukimla, what's the case here according to Shmuel? Who says that a Baal Chov can be kona, can be go over the Shevach without having to pay for it? If it's talking about the buyer, it turned out to be stolen property, and he's going back to the Gazlan, then the first line doesn't fit. Because Shmuel says, Lokeach from a Gazlan has Shevach, and here he has to pay it back. He shouldn't have to pay it back. Iba Balchov Kashareisha Visefa. To Amar Shmuel Balchov Govet HaShevach. Because Shmuel says the Balchov can take the Shevach without having to pay for it. And here we're talking about that the Balchov is going to have to pay back for the Shevach. So, what's the case? So, Iba Yisema Balokeach Mi Gazlon Kagon Sheishlo Karka Inami Bishakono Miado. Maybe it's talking about the cases where Shmuel would agree that a Lokeach from a Gazlon gets Shevach, because it's not a case of ribis, right? Like we said earlier, shtar or kinyan chalipin, ibayisema or bebalchov. Or we're talking about a balchov, but it's two types of shevach. A balchov could take shevach, again, where a creditor is going to his debtor's buyer's field, the one that he sold, he can only take certain shevach and not other shevach. What's the chilik? Remember we had this at the end of Bava Kama, v'lokasha kan b'shevach ha-magia l'ktafayim, kan b'shevach she'ina magia l'ktafayim. We're talking about Shevach that gets to the shoulders or Shevach that doesn't get to the shoulders. What does that mean? What does it mean, Shevach that gets to the shoulders? So Rashi says here and elsewhere, Shevach that gets to the shoulders means it's already totally ripe fruits and it's stuff that's about to be cut. That Shevach, the Balchov cannot take, because that's considered as if it's metaltalin. If it's as if it's metaltalin, so then it is not meshubin, right? Only karka. But if it's ena magiluk tafayim, it still needs the karka, right? Rashi says, magiluk tafayim means karovli katzer, elash adayin srichin la karka, havilu kaperus gemurin. That's like already detached. And the Balchov is not gove that unless he pays for it. But if it still needs the karka a lot, and it's not about to be cut, so then it is considered karka, and the Balchov could take that without having to pay for it. That was Rashi here. If you remember, at the end of Baba Kama, Dafsadi Hey, we had a couple of pshatim. What's Magiluk Tafayim and not Magiluk Tafayim? Different pshatim. Tosfos said there what this means, because Tosfos didn't like Rashi pshat. So Tosfos there said, maybe it means it's very heavy. It's literally going to be schlepped with Tafayim. Tosfos says there, Shevach ha-megdil ha-ktafayim, davar she-sofo li-talesh v'lisa b'ktafayim. Anything that's going to ultimately be carried on shoulders. Kugon pagan obusa d'tzrichi la'ar. Anything that's originally, ena magil ha-ktafayim means it's not going to be schlepped on shoulders. And you remember there, Tosa discusses how that fits into the, what's the chilek. But either way, we'll go with Rashi Pshat this time. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. So you're telling me that a Baal Chov does not take Shevach. That's Magiluk Tafayim, that's considered Metaltalin. But Vamaisa Mechol Yom, but it's, we see every day stories. Gamagvi Shmuel Afilu B'Shevach HaMagiluk Tafayim. Shmuel allows creditors to take Shevach, that's even Magiluk Tafayim. So where it says, Lo Kasha, Hada Mazik Be Kishir Ara V'Shivcha, Hada Lo Mazik Ela Kishir Ara, to Yov Le Shivcha V'Masalik Le. No, the Chiluk is, how much is the Baal Chov owed? Let's say the Baal Chov is owed 100. But the property that has the Shevach on it is worth 120. So he can't take that without paying for the extra 20. So of course, that's the case that Shmuel says you have to pay for it. The Shevach that he says you're allowed to take without paying for it is, let's say, with the Shevach, he owes 100, but the field that was sold is only worth 80. But now with the Shevach, it's worth 100. So now he can take the whole, all of the Shevach also. Because that's all so considered related to his loan. Fine. So now the Gemara says, we had the Shaka Vitaria back in Baba Kama. Ha ni chalamanda amar, I is le zuzi lo lokeach, lo masi misalak le lebal chov, shapir. Says the Gemara, there's a general machlokas we know from elsewhere. The whole idea of lakuchos, where I am a creditor, I could go to the buyers of your property. Could they pay me money instead of giving me the land? They want to pay me money instead. So, says that there's machlokas about that. So the Gemara says, if you say that the lokeach cannot give money, he has to give back the land, then we understand this whole discussion here, that he's forced to give up shevach in certain cases. Fine, shop here. El lamanda amar ki is le zuzi lokeach. Matzi masalik le labal chov. But if you hold like the opinion that the lokeach could always give money instead, so then here, what's the whole discussion of his being forced to give back karka? Neimalei ilo havi li zuze, havi misalkinach mikula ara. If I had enough land to give him for the whole property, that's what I would do. Hashtu de lesle zuze. I don't have enough for that. But havli garba da'ara ba'ara shir shivchoi. I'm giving him this little piece. At least this he shouldn't be able to take. So how does that work? Why should he have to give up the karka? The lokeach, why should he have to give back the carcass? So my skin on Gemara says no. Gonchasu aputiki, even if you say that you generally are allowed to pay money, but if the field is not aputiki, it is a designated piece of land that will have to be paid up, so that for sure has to go back to the malve, to the balchov. To amarle, lo yehe lechapiron ela mizu. Right, because he says, you're only going to pay back from this, right? Apotikis, pote koi. This is what you'll get paid up from, so that is why it goes back. Period. Okay, last section now for today. Hikir bashe in the shalom. So, this relates to a machlokas we had on the last off. On Yud Dalet Amud Beis, we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If somebody sells a field and it turns out to be stolen, machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Now, this is a related machlokas. What if somebody sells a field, but the buyer knows at the time that it's stolen property? He knows it's stolen. So now there's another machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, but it's one step less. One step less. Higa Hashem Shalom V'lacha, Amar Rav, Moz Yeshlo, Shevach Einlo. Rav says that later on, let's say Reuven sells Shimon property, and it turns out Shimon says that Shimon knew that it was stolen, but he bought it anyway. And now later on, now the Nigzal comes. So Rav says, Moz Yeshlo, Shimon could at least get his money back. Shevach Einlo, he for sure cannot get his Shevach. Even though Rav said before he could get Shevach back, here he can't. There's one step down. One step less rights. Shmuel Amar Afilu Mo Seinlo. Shmuel says no, he can't even get his money back. Unbelievable. Again, the buyer knew that it was stolen, he loses his money. Why is that? But Micah Miflagi, what's the machlokas? Rav Sava, Rav says he can get his money back, but not the Shevach. Why? Adam Yodea Shakarka Einlo. Everybody knows that the property does not belong to Reuven, the seller, so Reuven can't sell it. So why is the buyer giving him money? It must be he just wants somebody to guard this money. He knows the money is not for sale. Reuven can't sell it. So he gives it l'shem pikadon. The Ritva says here, not literally pikadon. He goes through all the regular rules and regulations of shomer don't apply. Chiyavon sin and all of that. It means l'shem to hold on to it, but I'm going to get it back. That is what Rav says. The name of Elisha Pikadon, why doesn't he just tell him, you know, guard my money? Sarvalo makabel, he assumes that he doesn't want those responsibilities. That's why Rav says he does get his money back afterwards. Ushmuel Savar, no. Adam Yodea Shakarka Einlo. Everyone knows that the Reuven cannot sell this property because it's stolen. Vagamar Venasan, Lashum Matana. It must be he just wants to give it as a gift. The name Alei Lashum Matana, why doesn't he just give it to him as a gift? Ksifale Milsa, no. He's embarrassed. The guy won't want to take it as a gift. So he gets it in here this way, even though he knows it is stolen. So that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Chashukei Chemed here and the Rav Eliashiv both discuss there's a Ramah. There's a Ramah in Chosha Mishpat where the Ramah says, if somebody invites, says, hi, you want to eat with me? So he says, sure. So he eats with him and then he says, okay, now pay me for it. Right? So why there do we not say that it's automatically L'shem Matana? While here it is, according to Shmuel. Okay, that's a separate question. Says the Gemara Pligi Bechad Azim, number 1 minute. Rav and Shmuel have this machlokas elsewhere about matana versus pikadon. So why do you have to have this one? The itmar hamakadish is achos. So a man gives his sister money for kiddushin. So everybody knows that's not going to work. You can't marry your sister. So what's with the money? Rav Amar Ma'os Chozrin Ushmuel Amar Ma'os Matana. Rav Amar Ma'os Chozrin. Rav says the money goes back to the brother. Why? Adam Yodei Shein Kudushin Tozem Achoso. Everybody knows that you can't marry your sister. V'gam Rav Natan L'shem Pikadon. So he just gave it to his sister to guard the money for him. V'neim Alam L'shem Pikadon. Why doesn't he just tell his sister? Watch it for me. Sarvalo Makabla Mineh. He thinks that she's not going to want to accept that responsibility. Ushmuel Amar Ma'os Matana. Ushmuel says no. The money is a gift to the sister. Adam Yodei Shein Kedushin Tovzim Bachoso. Everybody knows that they can't marry your sister. V'gam Rav Nasan L'shem Matana. And therefore, you must have given it as a gift. V'neim Alam L'shem Matana. Shiva La Milsa. So, question. Why do we have this machlokas of Matana versus Pikadon, both by marrying your sister and by buying a stolen piece of land that you know it's stolen? So Gemara says, Tricha, you need the machlokas in both places. De'i et mar baha, if you only had our case, right, of the stolen property, baha kamar Rav. Maybe only there Rav says you gave it as a pikadon. De'lo avdi inish, de'yavi matanos l'nechra. Because people aren't going to give gifts to strangers. Aval gabe achosa, but regarding the sister case, ema modulei l'shmuel. Maybe he'll admit to Shmuel that you gave it to your sister as a gift. That's why you have to have that machlokas. V'yidmar b'hach, and if you only had that machlokas, b'hachar mer Shmuel, only there Shmuel says it's a matana, because it's a sister. Ava b'ha ima modulei l'rav, but over here, maybe he agrees to Rav, that you give it as pikadon, sricha, that's why you need both. But either way, says the Gemara, this is a machlokas, again, a lot more, but not for now. Bein l'rav damar pikadon, just one more minute. Bein l'rav damar pikadon, bein l'shmuel damar matana. So, according to Rav or Shmuel, so what happens here? The buyer knows that it's stolen property. So he gives it either as a matana or a pikadon. But one second. So how is he able to go on the property if he knows it's stolen? Bain l'rav d'amar pikadon. Bain l'shmol d'amar matana. Hai la'ara b'may kanachis. Uperis hechiachil. So how is he able to go? How is he able to go into the property? Right, Rashi says here, what, you have to say that he's not a bucky and dinim? What's going on here? Savar, says the Gemara, no, this is what he thinks. Ana echus la'ara, I'm going to go to the land. Ve'eved, ve'echo begave, I'll live in the land. Ki hechi taviko avidiyu. Remember, the goslin has the property now, so am I really stealing it? It's either the goslin using it or I'm using it. Eventually, when the nigzal comes, right, the ulechi asi mare da'ara, when the nigzal eventually comes, zuze neva, there'll be money for him. L'rav damar pikadon, pikadon, l'shmuel damar matana, matana. And therefore, that's how he has the rights to, this is what he is thinking. And finally, the Gemara's maskana, amar rava hilchasa, rava says the lach is, yesh lo mos v'yesh lo shevach. This is yesterday's machlokas, right? If he buys it and it turns out to be stolen, he even gets the shevach, like Rav says, right? And in our case, also like Rav. And Achrayus, our other sugi from yesterday, that's the maskana of what the halacha lemaisa is in the sugiyas that we discussed the past couple of days. Okay, tomorrow's daf will be put up. The next day's unclear. Either we'll give it or we'll put it up, and then Beit Hashem will pick up after that. But again, over the next couple of weeks of Yantif, we'll see what it'll be from this cycle and what it'll be from the last cycle. Okay, we'll stop here.